thank Aunt Ruth for playing. And Joe, if you'd like to come up and have the thoughts for this evening at this time.
Good evening. We're going to open up to Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter. And we're going to try to read 1 through 18. Now, Isaiah, he's one of the major prophets, and if you look at the way he writes, he's got very colorful words to give you a good picture of what's going on. So he prophesied what was to come. He did it in now words, like words that would take place right now, and words that would refer to stuff in the future. And so he kind of wrote like that. In his first chapter, he prophesies of the punishment and the blessing from Isaiah's time. So let's start reading this. Isaiah, first chapter. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and kings of Judah. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. So they're saying these animals know better what they're doing than the children of Israel at this time. A last sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more, and the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints, and from the sole of your foot even to your head there is no soundness in it, but the wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, strangers devour your land in your presence, and your desolate and as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, a hut in a garden of cucumbers, and as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. So if the Lord was good enough to and had mercy enough to leave a little remnant, a few people. Otherwise, they'd be wiped out like Sodom and Gomorrah. We would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings and rams and fat and fed cattle, and I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or goats. So they were going through the motions, basically, but their heart definitely wasn't in the right place doing their sacrifices. So when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices, incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbath, and calling of the assemblies, I cannot endure iniquities and this sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, your souls hate, they are troubled to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes, and you even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood, wash your, and then verse 16, wash yourselves, and this is calling for repentance. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. So your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we'll stop there. This is a very long book. It'd be hard to take this on in a half a year. So chapter 1, God's case against Israel. The people have rebelled against God and failed to show gratitude and devotion. God's chastening have not succeeded. So he chastened them. They didn't heed the warning. They didn't change their ways. The one word where they had open sores and they're not bound up, they just refused to change their ways. God's chastening has not succeeded, even though the body was already suffering with disease. Verse 4, we see the phrase, a brood of evildoers. Now, you probably recognize the word brood, and so we'll go look in the New Testament. I believe, Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do you not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham and the fathers, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from this stone. So John the Baptist is at the baptism. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want to come and take a look, either to put on a show or find something wrong with it. But John recognizes it. And I don't know whether you read Isaiah, but kind of the same idea. Brood of evildoers. Back in verse 4 there. So the brood of vipers who pretended to desire to escape from the wrath to come, but exhibited no signs of true repentance. So the rulers of that day, in Matthew there, they basically went through the motions. They put on a show. They did with what they thought was that looked good. And we should really heed that warning. Let's not go through the motions, but have a heart that's right. And when you're doing something, make sure your heart is in it. If you're doing it on the outside, it's not a good thing. It just brings a lot of people down. So you want to do stuff with sincerity of heart. And then Matthew 12:34. And it also refers to that that word there. But let's start at 31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, I will forgive. I will be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And they kind of refer to the Christian. You shall know them by their fruit. A lot of times it's hard to hide that for a long time. If someone's doing stuff in the wrong heart, it'll come out eventually. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's talking about hypocrisy. Saying something and meaning another. Or saying something and in your heart, believing something else. Let's look at a verse in Jeremiah 4:14. And a call for repentance requires cleansing. And for all those that know Jesus is Lord and Savior. We're righteous, but we need daily cleansing by repentance, confessing your sins, and renewing the right relationship with the Lord. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? Well, it's kind of like us. You know, how long, if you sin, how long are you going to let that sin lodge in your heart before you take care of it, before you bring it to the Lord? So cleanse your heart. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, because God never moved. We are the ones that move from him. But draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I think we know people. Each one of us knows a person or two or many that are in your life that once served the Lord, and now they're out there walking just like the unbeliever. I'm not saying they weren't believers, but this is a real problem in this day and age. People are walking away from the Lord. And the only way for them to come back is to repent. So there's, in this day and age, there's a call for repentance. Not only by the sinner, by the unbeliever, but also by the believer. our job is to pray for these ones that left, God, basically. And then let's read Romans 12:9. Dealing with people, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate one another, with brotherly love, honor, giving preference to one another. So, love without hypocrisy. Don't love with the appearance that you care. You need to care, and then love the person. So, love without hypocrisy. Isaiah 43:25. I didn't bookmark that one. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. So if we want to get back right with the Lord, he's the one that blots out our sins, if we ask him to. Blots out our transgressions for my own sake. You know why? Because it's for his sake, because he wants a relationship with you. He wants each one to have a relationship with him. And I will not remember your sins. So, and that's a good thing. You know, you confess your sins, so remember them no more. Psalms 51. And you can see at the top there is a prayer for forgiveness. And, it's a good passage to read. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin, and my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in my inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me known no wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear your joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And we'll stop there. And if you go back to Isaiah, that 18th verse, well known. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's a good verse if you're for people that are outside of Christ. And that's a salvation verse. Divine reasoning accepted by faith teaches us that there is cleansing from sin, that this cleansing is totally apart from human merit or effort, and that it is only through the redemption which the Lord Jesus accomplished by shedding of his blood on the cross. Who can know the many who have answered the invitation of this verse? And so what I want to bring out today is you can see in Isaiah the children of Israel, they rebelled. They did their own thing. They did whatever they thought was good in their eyes, and they totally rejected God that did so much for them, and they rebelled. But he had mercy upon them. He didn't. He always left a few of them, his people, so that he might someday see repentance on their part. So, and that's the same thing with us. We're all sinners, and we were outside of Christ at one point, and with no hope. And if you read some of these verses, it's very the words are telling of rebellion and hypocrisy and do your own thing, and they didn't care pretty much. But he made a plan for us. Isaiah, is pretty much talking about the children of Israel, but it has references in the New Testament, and refers to the great salvation God put forth for us by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Your sins, though your sins be are like a scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And so, a call to repentance. We went through most of the week here, and things come up, and we don't act appropriately toward a few of them, and we end up sinning. You're in that car, and you know how driving is. You don't have the right attitude. You get a little angry. You're at work, things aren't going your way, and you get a little angry. We need to confess that stuff. Little stuff, but it keeps us separate from God. He wants a fellowship with us, so we need to confess that sin, that everyday stuff that seems to creep in. And if we keep short accounts and get back right with God, we can have the whole fellowship that He desires for us. And let's just close in a prayer.